Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew, my son, not very happy, Newman. Aww. Oh, that brought a smile.
That's when you know Jack is back.
Jack, our famous engineer, Inslee, is back in the booth.
It felt good to play that theme song,
The president
guys.
Is in the house. The president is in the house.
So we're here every Thursday streaming from 4:35. Jack, you're welcome anytime. And you can listen to us if you can't listen live. All our shows are archived on the website, or free podcast is available through iTunes. So today, there's major legislation passed. The Supreme Court speaks. Obamacare got upheld. And there's going to be a new health insurance laws starting in 2014. Frankly, I don't think anybody really knew which way it was going to go. It was quite a surprise that it went in Obama's favor, and it was very interesting. Of course, the Dems are dancing in the streets.
I don't understand why it's a good thing.
Why is it
a good thing? Why do you have to have health care?
Well, because if you don't have health care, the rest of us pay.
But do you think this will actually decrease the premiums for people who already are on health care? Because that's the main goal of this thing.
No, probably not.
The main goal of this thing is to decrease the cost, because it's offsetting.
No, that wasn't the main goal. The main goal.
I thought that was the main goal in this.
The main goal was to get everybody insured and have access to health insurance.
Well, yeah.
That's the main goal.
And but now that you have a larger pool of people paying for health care and no longer these drains, apparently, on health care, the people who don't have their own health care, it should decrease the premiums, because now, you know, they're paying in to offset the people who are already in.
Yeah. Well, that would be fine.
That's
and true if the health insurance companies didn't continually increase premiums.
And they're going up 17% this year.
Well, it's not about more people in the pool.
So what's the difference? Why does it matter?
Well, now people can access. Everyone has access to health care now.
I don't understand why you have to have it now. Well, because if you don't have it, you have to get covered. Fine.
Or you pay a penalty.
But I'm saying, no, before this law.
Yes.
You got covered no matter what, because you had to get covered.
Wait.
I don't understand what you're saying.
You go to a hospital, they have to take care of you.
No, they don't cover you, though. But they bill you.
Yeah, sure, they bill you.
They do.
Okay, great.
There's lots of people who pay humongous medical bills.
There are, but there are a lot of people who don't.
That's right.
You know what? Whatever. Then that's why insurance premiums are higher, because now they have to offset the cost of everyone who's not insured and this other crap.
Correct, yes.
Right? That's the whole baseline. That's the principle behind why health premiums are so high.
Well, let's just stop there for a second. Whether this bill passed or not, and if things stayed status quo, your health care premiums are going to go up anyway, because they've been going up, and the health insurance companies are not about to reduce the premiums. Medical expenses
so
in this country,
what's the point of this law?
It's to have everybody who wants access to insurance can have it now.
But if you don't get it, you're penalized for it.
Yeah, and the penalties are very small.
But why do you have to have it?
You don't, because the government says it's out there, it's cheaper for you to buy insurance for the nation and for you individually than it is for you to not have insurance.
I just don't think health insurance companies are going to decrease the premiums, as this law should allow them to.
Well, maybe
should make them do it.
Maybe they'll tackle that problem, because the insurance companies are running the whole show at this point.
That's the problem.
And they didn't go to medical school, but they're telling the docs and the patients what treatments they're entitled to and what treatments they're not entitled
to. That's the problem.
And so now, maybe once this gets passed and it gets approved, maybe we can focus in on putting the we have on Wall Street, the regulations to the health insurance companies, and get them in line, because they're out of control.
See, everybody's focusing on just the mandate, but there are a lot of other things that come along with it as well.
That's my main concern. I don't care if everyone
you're concerned with those things.
Well, I'm concerned with the fact that insurance premiums still went up this year, like 15%.
Right.
Without this health care.
And this should have preceded that and said, yo, this is going to go into law. Now, they should negate the premiums that I got letters across the board, all my clients, Yes. Everyone's going up 17%.
That's right.
Well, that's ridiculous.
There's a tax credit now, I believe, for small businesses.
There is, but that's... There's a credit, but it doesn't offset the 17%. And last year was like 20%.
Mm. Well, so, those credits are deceiving too, Jack, in that, you know, sometimes it has to be the employer paid for the insurance. And if your employee pays part of it, then they only get a partial credit. So those credits don't add up to a whole lot of money if you have a real small business. It may work if you have like 50 people, but if you have less than 10 people, it really gets to be very difficult to take advantage of those credits.
What about those of us in our mid-20s that were covered? I mean, I had no insurance.
Right.
Once the first phase of I hope we can stop calling it Obamacare, but when the first phase went through, I was now retroactively covered under my dad's
parents
plan.
I mean
that's nice.
That was a good part. That was
a
beginning.
That's
that was
great.
A beginning. Well, this is what's going to happen. This is what I've been saying all along. I am in a different space and place than you two young guys in the office in the studio right now. However, you know, I know a lot of people my age. I'm in my late 50s, and there are people who want out of their job. They financially can afford to get out of their job and launch a dream job that they've always wanted all their life because they're not happy in their job. They're just burnt out. But the reason they can't leave, they're 57 years old, they're 55 years old, they're 59 years old, they don't have medical insurance and they can't get until their Social Security kicks in with Medicare. They have to hang into these awful jobs. For them, they're awful. And it'll free people up. It'll free jobs up for you young people to now step in and get these jobs.
How much is insurance a year?
It's astronomical when you're not associated with a group. Insurance for an individual, totally single, by themselves, no employer involved, could be up towards $1,500 to $2,000 per month.
Yeah.
Who can afford to do that?
When I looked into it, it was like, I think the worst one I could find for myself was $300-ish a month, which is, I can't afford that.
Well, you can't afford that, Jack, but that's a pretty low-level policy. Somebody who's 50-something years old needs a little bit more than catastrophic stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, you know, if you want to take
somebody that went through a lifetime of having comfortable medical insurance coverage is not about to go and take all their
$300 college
policy
plan.
And then be subject subject to some ridiculous medical expenses if, God forbid, something goes wrong. I'm going to tell you, I think it's a great plan. I could never understand this. I said this a number of times on different shows. I could never understand why medical insurance is tied into a job. You could go and buy car insurance. You don't have to work. You could go buy life insurance. You don't have to have a job. You could go buy homeowners insurance. You don't need a job. The only insurance in this country that we have to have a job for is to buy medical insurance.
It's the most expensive one.
No, it's not. There's all sorts of different...
Which other insurance is it nearly that expensive?
I don't know.
None.
There's other insurance.
Name one.
Okay. Long-term care premiums.
That's a wholly voluntary thing. That's a wholly voluntary thing.
Yes.
It's not an essential thing.
Well, now the new law.
Well, now apparently health insurance is an essential thing too.
Life insurance is not mandatory.
It's not, but that's cheaper still.
Well,
I asked, there's one
life
insurance
policy
apparently
is not cheaper. Okay, so let's not go there. The point is now you don't have to have a job to have insurance, and there's a lot of self-employed people who don't have groups. This is very, very common in a small business where they only have one or two employees, and only out of that one or two employees, only one employee needs to be covered because the other employees got coverage through another option. Now they can get what's called a group policy or get insurance maybe at more reasonable rates.
That's the main question for me.
Well, we're going to see.
Why aren't they driving down costs? This should drive down costs.
Well,
that's
maybe
all it
will.
Be.
I would think so.
Maybe
you would
it
think
will.
So, but Jack, they don't have to at this point.
But at 2014.
And they're ruling the health industry. They're ruling it. Insurance companies rule the health industry.
Well, right
that's,
now.
That's
but like I said, maybe we can then go the next step and put regulations in now to control and contain the health insurance companies.
I don't know why there aren't like caps on health insurance at this point.
Well, there probably will be.
Because they need to get
time.
Their profit margin at 23%.
So
let me
tell you a little history, guys. When I was a young girl in, I think it was 1965, LBJ was the president. You know who LBJ is?
Yes.
Okay, good. So for those who don't know LBJ, it's Johnson, Lyndon Baines Johnson. So, okay, somebody didn't know who LBJ is. There are some people don't know so much history. And
I like
they
to think
passed,
our listeners are a little bit more
and they passed the Medicare policy. He before that, there was no old people's Medicare. So, you know, what did old people do? Well, their employers provided them when they retired. When you retired, you continued your medical insurance. Or pretty much everybody died at like 65. That was probably the average age. So a lot of people didn't need medical insurance. But he passed the Medicare insurance bill. And, you know, it was a new policy that could have been very expensive, but it wound up being overall a very well received and a well functioned policy, and this could be the same thing. It's possible.
But that's a separate government run entity.
It's no, because the poor people
not run by,
they're going to expand the program for poor people to be able to sign up for Medicaid.
Why doesn't everyone just sign up for Medicaid?
Medicaid.
Why doesn't everyone just get on Medicare then?
Well,
if it's such a well-run organization and program, why don't we just get rid of health insurance and go to Medicare?
Well, that would be a national socialized.
At this point, why not just socialize
it? I wonder if that's where it's going to go.
It's the only logical solution.
Well, we're the only Western country that doesn't have a national program.
They shouldn't be making money on people being sick.
Right.
That's the point. There should be no money made on people being sick.
That's interesting. But I think perhaps this is the first step towards that.
Well, that's
that
never going to happen because capitalists and Republicans are not going to allow that to happen.
Correct. Yeah,
so at which point,
socialist.
Why am I forced to have it?
Wait a second now.
If I'm not allowed to make my own financial decisions, are you kidding me?
I don't agree.
Do you not think the insurance lobbies and the Republicans would just put the kibosh?
Well, then how did the Supreme Court
pass this? Because
this
is going through.
The whole reason it was passed is because we're not defining it as being forced.
Yeah.
The issue here is the fine. Oh. Are we allowed to fine you for
There's two different kinds of fine. Wait. Let me explain something a little bit. The fines to the individual are pretty light. There's no penalties. There's no interest. They're not going to come and seize your property like in other taxes. When you don't pay your taxes, they really have a very strong arm. This is not happening. However, if your state opts out, okay, that's where the burden falls. It's going to be accepted state by state. And if your state opts out of the program, they lose their Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement entirely.
From the government?
Yes.
Wow.
So their arms are really forced to take this program and implement it into their state. Because all the federal laws, the states actually implement the federal laws. They don't do that.
States' rights are superior to federal.
Right. So now the states have to, if they're so strongly against Obamacare, they're going to lose a lot of money. And I don't know of any states that can afford to let go of their Medicare.
That could be a shit show. Excuse my language.
Yes.
But.
So that's why, you know, the onus is not on the individual. It's on the states to make sure that their citizens get their insurance, just like they did in the great state of Massachusetts when Mitt Romney was the governor, and he passed this law, and it was similar to the way it is now, in that people were worried it was going to drive up healthcare costs. It was going to
drive up healthcare costs.
Yes,
should never drive up healthcare costs.
Well, they were concerned about that.
Why would it drive it up? It should drive it down.
But they were concerned about that, and they were also concerned about how heavy penalizing it was going to be to the taxpayers. And it wound up to be a huge success. Like 98% of the citizens now have health insurance, and the health insurance premiums did not go sky high. They just went according to like everybody else's in this country.
Yet again, I don't understand. It's a supply and demand thing. Your supply is increasing. The demand is increasing. The supply remains the same.
Well, let me just say something. As you said earlier, they're in it for the profit.
Exactly.
So if they have more customers, they see it as more profit.
Exactly.
So they're not going to drive down their costs in the state of Massachusetts just because
if you have more people paying into the program.
Well, then,
like before you had a pot of $100,000.
Right.
Now you have 10 times more people, so your pot should go up to $1 million. It should drive the cost down because you're still paying the same amount.
But wait, as a capitalist, would you do that? Oh, we have more participants. We're making bigger profits. We're going to reduce our profits.
As a capitalist, no, I wouldn't. But as a capitalist, you have a choice. And now you're taking away my choice where I'm forced to take on this expense. That should not.
No, you're not.
Yes, I have to, or else I'm penalized, Jack.
Or what's the point? I mean, that's not being forced.
Well, it's either I pay you $5,000 or I pay someone else, whatever the penalty
is. Well, I'll tell you what the penalty is.
But why do I have to have that penalty? There shouldn't be a penalty.
Because
I should have a choice.
It's the same. The government's allowed to tax you on gasoline. They're allowed to tax you on your income. They're going to tax you on your medical insurance.
Those are choice things.
Those are not a choice. You don't have a choice to pay your income tax.
Well, that's a whole other question. That's not the point. The other point is on gas, yes, I have a choice. On cigarettes, yes, I have a choice. On sales, if I want to buy something, that's fine. Well, I'll pay a tax.
Income tax is not a choice.
Well, I don't believe in income tax either. But that's
that's since you don't believe in it.
Well, that's because they provide services that I don't ever take advantage of. That's not a question. But now you're taking away my choice to take health insurance or not to.
No, it's mandatory.
Why?
Because
why?
It's for the betterment of this country. Let's take a break here for a minute, and we'll come back and keep discussing this, okay? We'll be right back.
This program is sponsored by Tri-State Merchant Services. If you are a business owner, then you are processing credit or debit cards and checks. Providers for these services can be large, faceless companies who take your business for granted. But at Tri-State Merchant Services, your satisfaction is our priority, and we strive to earn your business every day. We offer more than just credit card processing. We provide valuable insight, solutions, and practical tools for streamlining your business. What's more, while we have the manpower of the leading processors, we never lose sight of the fact that every business starts small and that together we can do big things. At Tri-State Merchant Services, we believe in working with local businesses to strengthen our community. A strong community builds a strong economy. Check out our partner referral program and all of our services at tmsmerchant.com.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash.
And Jack, what was that song, Jack?
That was one of mine.
Uh-huh. Interesting, Jack.
It was weird.
It was good. I like the drums. We're talking about the Supreme Court speaking up today. And Andrew's having a hard time with it. But
it seems unconstitutional.
Can I just tell you? Let me tell you what you know who wrote the, what do they call that when they, the statement. What is that called?
The decision.
The decision. Okay, so it was Chief Justice John Roberts. This is how he explained it. Maybe it'll help you, Andrew. It's constitutional in part and it's unconstitutional in part. The individual mandate cannot be upheld as an exercise of Congress's power under the Commerce Clause. That clause authorizes Congress to regulate interstate commerce, not to order individuals to engage in it. But it is reasonable to construe what Congress has done as increasing taxes on those who have a certain amount of income but who choose to go without health insurance. Such legislation is within Congress's power to tax. That's the law. That's how he explained it.
Right. So instead of calling it a fine, we should call it an increased tax.
Tax. It's another tax.
Just another tax.
And if you can't afford to pay the tax because you don't have enough income, you can then be the government will pay.
Do you get a tax credit for paying health insurance?
Well, this is what he said in the beginning. This is what Jack said. You know, the health care, the small employers get credits.
No, but what about me now? Do I get a credit for getting health insurance?
Well, actually, on the Massachusetts income tax return, there were credits for people.
I should have to get a credit now to decrease my income to offset this because you shouldn't be able to tax me on the income that you're forcing me to pay for health insurance.
Well, you don't get a tax credit for the income tax you pay to the IRS on your federal tax return.
Well, you get other credits to adjust your income so that you're not taxed on the full amount.
Yes.
So that's different.
There probably will be a credit.
There better be a credit.
Well, there will be. Because, I mean, there should be. Because Massachusetts has that.
Income tax in the first place seems unconstitutional to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like, I understand that you want to provide services, but it's not services that everyone needs.
Well, in this country, everyone needs to have coverage because you never know when you're going to need
insurance. I'm talking about across the board. Like, when the government decides what services I need to pay into when I don't agree with the services that they're providing.
Well, it's no different than, say, the gasoline tax. The gasoline tax...
I don't buy gas.
The gasoline tax is used to maintain the highways and do other things for the roadways. So... Yeah, you do use gasoline.
If I do, I pay for gasoline and I pay the tax.
Well, you pay for gasoline when you take a bus or a taxi.
That's something different as well.
Well, it's still
I pay
there.
In this thing. In this case, I don't have that choice. I'm using the services and paying the tax on it.
Well,
now I'm forced to take a service on. It's like paying for Social Security. I'm forced to take on that service when I'm never going to see. Medicare, Medicaid, defense, all these things.
Yes.
Like I get no benefit from any of these things.
Well, you live in this country. And there's a benefit to that, isn't there?
I don't have a choice in that either.
Well, you can move. It's a free country.
I can't go anywhere else.
World.
Where am I going to go where they'll let me in?
Oh, probably Canada. You don't like that answer?
Really? I'm going to go to Canada?
It's boring in Canada. That's how they describe Canada. Well, the good news is the Dems are happy. The Democrats are happy. And, of course, Romney, the first thing he said was he's going to pick up on the first day where the Supreme Court left off. He's going to appeal the law, and he's going to get it overturned.
That seems so weird.
But now I got to tell you, the Republican, of course it's weird. The Republicans said, we're not even going to wait for Romney to get in because he might not get in. So they're going to start their appeal process next month in July. And that's, you know, Boehner and the boys.
I don't understand why Republicans are against this.
Well, they feel the same way you do. It shouldn't be mandatory. Nobody should be forced to do this. And, it, you know, will it rot?
I would think a Democrat would want this. Would, hate this more.
No, no, that's this a kind increasing. Of social program. This is kind of a social program.
No, it's not. I have to yes. pay for it. If it's no. a social program, well, it,
no, but
they
the
would
social
spread the
program
out.
Is if you can't afford to pay for it, we're going to cover you.
That would be a social program.
That right. is, but that's what's going on.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's available to the poor people who, if they can't afford it, they're going to expand the Medicaid rolls.
Why don't you just make Medicare everywhere?
Well, and you just have said that.
This is going to become Medicare.
It has
that's
to.
That's exactly right. where.
That's the only way this
it's going to be a social program, as we talked earlier.
It has to be
it's
that way.
It's
going to
be like Spain and
but
Canada.
But at this point, it's not there yet. Now, yeah. at this point, it's taxing people in the middle income again.
Well, it's taxed to the middle income.
That's
it's,
all it really
it's a,
is.
It's a very small tax.
It's yet again on the middle income.
It's a very small
it's ridiculous.
Tax.
Ridiculous.
It's really to keep your federal dollars flowing to your state. It's really the states are going to have to sign up for this.
It's another tax on the middle class.
Well, Drew,
it's a tax on the people who are trying to start their own business or like in that middle area where they can't really afford health insurance, but they make enough money. So now they have to have health insurance or pay a income tax. It just makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Like, the poor people aren't going to get affected. The rich people aren't going to get affected. It's the people in the middle, yet again, getting screwed over by the government.
So
that's why I don't understand you.
I mean, what about all the people who aren't getting insurance at work? They're working for small businesses, and now that business owner's hands are tied into doing this. So, I mean,
that's the middle class yet again, Jack. Those are the middle people who are the lifeblood of this country.
Well, they're getting helped, I'm saying, no?
No, they're not.
Why is that?
How are they getting help? Well, they have to either offer insurance to these people.
Yes.
Or these people who work for them.
Oh, you're talking about the
insurance.
Business owners. I'm talking about the employees.
The employees have to get health insurance now.
Well, the there's
well, their company is more likely to offer it
yes,
to them.
Yes, but now the company has to pay the
correct.
And now that limits their growth and expansion.
Well, it also could reduce their profits if they're very profitable companies.
Or more people, more talented people will apply for these jobs knowing they'll get insurance.
I don't think it's going to limit that, Jack, at this point because the unemployment's so high. I think whoever wants a job will try to get a job. Like, I think this is going to limit the growth of small businesses.
Well, I think it's going to free up people who are in miserable jobs. That's number one, as I said
so
earlier.
So one small portion of the country who apparently have enough money already.
No, they can also go to other jobs where they may not have medical insurance. You know how many people don't leave jobs because they go to another job and they don't have all the benefits they have in this existing job? There's going to be a lot of movement after this takes place. It gives people more opportunity. It's crazy to have to be tied to anything because of the medical insurance discussion. It's crazy. That should not be a deciding factor in your life, whether you want to move to Arizona and start a new business or transfer and the new company is a startup and they don't offer medical insurance, so you got to stay in your miserable job in Pennsylvania. These are things that people are going to be able to do from now on.
But
people
if you
are going to be
money,
allowed to get divorced now, and they're going to say, I don't have need to be married to this person anymore because I don't need their insurance anymore. Do you know how much this is going to help? How many people are together for all the wrong reasons or in jobs for all the wrong reasons or...
For health insurance.
For health insurance, absolutely. It's a very pricey thing. You know how scary it is for a lot of people to go without health insurance? It's scary. It's probably the top three things that people are scared of. No health insurance.
Absolutely.
So this is now going to give a new look at things.
If you live your life because of health insurance, you have to look at your life.
Well, Drew, there's a lot of people that look at it and say, that's important to me. That's really important to me.
Then you
know, you
make a decision
at that
point. At
30 years old, you don't have a wife. You don't have any children.
Fine.
You don't have a home. You don't have a job that's built independent. You have a different life and a different view. But there are people who are a little more... have a lot more burden on them in that, you know, they have children, they have a wife, they have a mortgage.
Then you have to deal with that.
Well, they're dealing
that's
with
fine.
They stay in these.
So now I have to have this law where I have to have health insurance because you want to feel more comfortable in your life. So my
no,
life is impeded upon
the vast
for
majority
your freedoms?
Of this country feels very strongly about having access to health insurance. Having access to health insurance.
You have access.
You don't have access if you're not employed. It's so outrageously expensive. How many people can afford thousands of dollars a month for health insurance?
No one pays thousands of dollars
yes,
a month.
Yes, they do.
I've That's
seen
the plan
people,
you choose.
I've seen people Cobra. I've seen people who are unemployed who pay $900 a month for the lowest level policies.
That's the company. That's the policy that the company
They may be
choosing.
50 or 60 years old. You know, Drew, it's not all 30-year-olds and 20-year-olds who are without insurance.
Okay, so why does my life get affected because of your life? There should be tiers. If you're 50, you have to have insurance. If you're 30, you don't.
No.
Why does my life
Why
get affected
Why does a
30-year-old
say don't? They could get into a car wreck. They can get diabetes.
Fine.
They can get cancer.
That's on them.
No, but it's not okay because we pay. The rest
We're
of us
anyway. So this
tax
is where my problem is. The insurance premiums are not going to go down.
So do, we're all paying. Do you have insurance now, Andrew?
Yes, I do.
That you buy it yourself?
I pay for it, yeah. Well, okay. I work for someone who covers my, who I pay them for help.
You had to find a situation. You were without
because
insurance.
Everyone yelled at me, I need to get insurance. What's that, Jack?
What would you do if you didn't have insurance?
He didn't have insurance,
I didn't have insurance just recently.
You just went without it, right?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's what I was doing as well.
But exactly. You're a young guy who's not attached in any way.
But I make the decisions in my life to do these things. Then you make the decisions as well. Like, why is my choices impeded upon because of your choices?
Well, it's sometimes they're not choices.
Why?
What happens if you lose your job?
Okay.
And you can't afford the COBRA? You can't because unemployment is only $400 a week. How? What do you do?
I just want to be
clear
about this,
though. But you might not be able to find another
job. Let's say Andrew or I don't have health insurance.
Yes.
And we don't want it. We can't afford it.
You pay the penalty.
Is it subsidized
now? No, you pay the penalty.
No, let's say we fall under a certain bracket. Our income is low enough.
There should be, like, options here. You know? This is why it's just like...
Are we on Medicare or is it...
Yes, if you're poor enough, you can go to Medicaid.
Jackie, not poor enough.
And,
well, I know.
But if you don't want the insurance, you pay the penalty. If you feel that strongly, then pay the penalty. I'm
but
looking
why?
For the numbers. Mm. They're very cheap.
How much is it?
I'm going to tell you. They're so cheap, it's amazing. Let me see.
So
let
why
me
even impose it?
That's really, as I explained to you, it's not really imposing and penalizing
so
the individual.
Pay it like, I don't understand.
Okay, here it is. So if individuals choose not to comply with the individual insurance mandate, Congress deliberately chose to make the penalty fairly weak. Only $95 in 2014, $325 in 2015, $695 in 2016. So if you feel so strongly,
pay that much?
Then you know what? You have a choice. Pay this penalty
why?
Or pay for the insurance.
Why?
Because that's the new law in the land. They decided that in the Supreme Court today.
What does the Declaration of Independence say?
What does it
What's
say?
What's like the first line of the Declaration of Independence?
I don't even know. Tell me. Remind. Chalk my memory.
It's about constitutionality and freedom of choice and freedom, all freedoms. The
right.
Constitution.
We have it.
I don't. You just took it away. Just took it away.
You're required to have car insurance if you own a car.
So don't buy a car.
You're required to have homeowner's insurance if you own a home.
So don't buy a house.
Okay. Well, in this...
If you make those choices, you live with them.
If you earn any
just
money...
Just because I'm alive, I have to have
health
insurance?
If you earn any money in this country, you're required to have medical insurance.
Why?
Because that's the new law.
Because I'm alive, I have to have health insurance.
Because you're working.
But I'm not using the service.
It doesn't matter.
I'm using the car. I'm using the house. I have insurance for those purposes. Because I walk in this country, I have to have health insurance?
Well... No, true.
What you just said to me.
What, if you work in this country...
If I'm alive and walking around, and I make more than $10,000 a year probably, because that's what the poverty line
yes,
is,
yes.
I have to have health insurance.
Yes, or you pay a penalty.
What if I make $25,000 a year, right. Live in New York?
Yes.
No health insurance.
Yes, so you pay the
I have
$95.
Walking around money.
$95 a year.
I have $0 because I make no money... And living in New York, I got to pay the federal government $600 in 2 years because I'm alive.
Yes.
Because I'm alive.
Yes.
Don't use health care at all.
Yes.
I got to pay someone $600.
Now, what happens if you get into a car wreck?
What ifs?
What happens if...
This is what I don't like about insurance. You're living in what ifs.
Yes.
You're gambling against what ifs.
You're walking
and when
around
you never
New York
use
City.
It, when you never use it...
You don't get rewarded.
That money is wasted.
Well, it's being paid to...
Should I get a refund?
It's being used...
When do I get my refund?
When you die and you last
no,
a
I
long
don't.
Time.
Insurance doesn't give me money
when
back.
When you get 65 years old, Social Security has a Medicare program which you don't have to pay for. And so there you go. You get your reward. You live a long, happy, healthy life. And you get to use the system in your favor.
So the
then because you got to know when you're 65, you're going to go to the healthcare facilities for some things. Because
for 35 years, I'm paying.
Right.
I don't get sick.
That's right.
35 years, I'm paying 10 grand
well, what
a year.
About Social Security? You pay into Social Security.
I've never seen that either.
Right, so you
I'm not happy about that either.
Okay, but you pay. You're not screaming.
I am every time I do my taxes.
Well, you're paying it, and you're going along with the program. So,
I have to, or else
well,
they take
my. Well, this is the same thing. It's the same thing. You have to. You have to. You either buy the insurance or you pay the penalty. That's the rule now.
That's bullshit.
Well, okay, so now you're going to be part of the appeal.
So the country's unconstitutional.
So now you're going to be part of the appeal. You're going to be a big part of the Republicans and their appeal.
I want to appeal Social Security.
Okay, so you start your own program. We're going to say goodbye now. Andrew's got to cool his jets now, and maybe next week he'll be happier. Okay, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.